8:01 the time, a Tuesday edition of the Mornings with Ed show. Delighted to have you with us on an absolutely gorgeous Laguna Beach morning. The sun is coming up over the hill, setting off the colored window pane. The kaleidoscope is now over on the canvas. And we have a guest we've been looking forward to seeing for some time. Judy Mancuso is a candidate for the State Assembly District 72. She'll be addressing Laguna Beach residents as part of the Laguna Beach Democratic Club tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at the Susie Q. Registration for the event is free. It's a hybrid event, and you can go to the lbdems.com to register there. Judy knows the ins and outs of how California state legislature works. For several decades, she's been successful in getting bills passed. She's a full-time animal and environmental activist and founder and CEO of Social Compassion and Legislation. That's an animal welfare not-for-profit. Her lobbying with the California legislature has resulted in the passage of nearly 20 animal protection laws. And here at home in Laguna Beach, she is the vice chair of the city's Environmental Sustainability Committee. Most recently, she organized the Main Beach Rally against offshore drilling and its effect on marine animals. She's had successful bans on retail sales of cosmetics tested on animals, fur trapping, wild animals, and circus. We'll talk about all of that. A Laguna Beach resident of almost 30 years, in for the conversation this morning. We welcome candidate for the State Assembly in the 72nd District, Judy Mancuso. Welcome, Judy.
Thank you, Ed. What a nice intro. And you got it all right.
Man, you know, I did it strictly from memory. I'm like, all right, well, what can I pull? I could have gone on and on and on and on. You have been so involved and so active in so many different areas, and now you're choosing to be active at the state assembly level.
Yes. Well, I've been there for 17 years already. And this redistricting happened, and everything got chopped up, and all of a sudden, Laguna Beach is in a district with no incumbent.
Right.
And Cadi Petrie-Norris decided to stay with her district and move to Irvine, which left this Seal Beach to Laguna Beach, and then all the way inland to Lake Forest, empty. And there was two Republicans that rose up to jump in the race, but there was not a Democrat. And I have been a lifelong Democrat, and I start calling Cadi and all the leaders in Orange County for the Dems, the state, and said, hey, what's going on here, right? We can't just by default have a Republican assembly member. Our values are so different. And they said, hey, you know how to do this stuff. Jump in. We'll get behind you.
Right.
And I said, really? And everyone was very enthusiastic and encouraging. And I thought, well, I know how to do it. Right. I've been doing it all this time. So I'm in.
So you're in with both feet. Congratulations. and just for the sake of fairness, we have invited Diane Dixon and Benjamin Yu, your opponents, on the program, and they are welcome to come in anytime. We certainly welcome that. So let's talk about some of the priorities. That Seal Beach to Laguna, that's a big area of environment to protect. That's a big area of homeless people to house. So let's first get into climate and fighting climate change, which is one of your mantras, really.
That's right.
The effects of which could bleed into everything else we do. What are the first actions you see yourself pressing for?
Well, I think that if we're going to get serious about challenging climate change, we need to look at expanding solar on every roof we possibly can. Number one, there's so much money that's coming down from the federal government that the state government has. And right now we have subsidies for solar roofs for people who make $40,000 a year and are homeowners. Well, that's like 2 + 2 =, you know, 9, right?
Right.
So let's look at realistically how, if we're going to subsidize it, how do we subsidize it to people who really own homes?
Right.
There in Berkeley, the municipal government is using grocery stores, Gelson's, Ralph's, Pavilions, to put solar panels on for the municipal government to run off of.
Okay.
So, you know, there is so much we could do. These oil rigs that are out in state waters, there's three of them that, you know, we had the event at Main Beach. And, you know, what you could do there is you could take the oil rig from the top off. You could put wind and turbines, you know, windmills on top. You can leave the bottom for rigs to reef, it's called, right?
The platforms themselves.
That's right. You leave the infrastructure. And wind right now is one of the top commodities making the most money for energy. And we're way behind other countries on this technology. So this is the kind of aggressive, kind of like, let's go, let's solve it. And it'll grow jobs. It'll accomplish our climate change goals. You know, we keep talking about electrification, but it's just not, that's not going to be the whole thing, you know, as far as putting electric cars on the road. We have to go further than that.
Right. It's much more than just getting an electric vehicle.
I mean, that's one thing, right? And we need to get those prices down so everybody can afford one, because right now they're out of range for most individuals.
Right. You talked about the rally at Main Beach, and it was a successful rally against offshore drilling and its effect on marine animals. Any movement since then from the oil companies? Any movement in...
Movement and them fighting us. Chevron just gave $400,000 to the California GOP so they can up their attacks against candidates like myself and others, right? So that's where they stand, is digging in and fighting.
Okay, so the rally was really a step one in a battle against the oil companies, because it's going to be a battle.
It's going to be a battle. Right. They want to pump every drop of fossil fuel to hell with all of us burning up together, you know?
Right. So other areas here are the economy and homelessness. And the question is, I hear people with lofty goals to handle homelessness. Mm-hmm. But what kind of tangible things can we do in the short term? And what kind of vision do you need for the long term? And maybe not lofty, but what kind of vision should we have for the long term? And how do we budget for those?
Okay. Well, I have a friend right here in Laguna Beach named Alex Tuccheroni, who is a neighbor and friend that's been working with Volunteers of America Los Angeles for decades, and I have been involved with them, and I've learned a lot about the homelessness crisis. And, you know, the folks that are on the street fall into several categories. They are, you know, mental health issues, people that are just down on their luck, home, you know, from the housing crisis, and just need a place to stay and a job. There's women that have been in, you know, battered relationships that have left that need housing. There is at-risk youth, LGBTQ kids that have been kicked out of their homes, veterans, right? So when you look at this group and you can divide them and then take care of each individual's needs. And that might seem lofty, but it is the real solution. And you have to move them on to a better place. They can't be on the streets. You know, back when I was a kid, I remember when Ronald Reagan, you know, just shut down the institutions.
Mental health centers.
And threw everybody out on the streets. And, you know, that's when the crisis began. And then came, it was taboo to say we were going to spend money on these people. What do you mean? You know, that was like, oh, you don't talk about that.
How practically, how do you initiate step one?
Step one is pretty much, I mean, the governments are already mobilizing. So you have to have a database. You have to talk to these folks. You have to have a place for them to go. So I think identifying all the infrastructure that's there, what is available, for mental health? What is available for women? What is, and then, you know, going to the places where they are, talking to them, figuring it out, and moving them on. But I don't think in the 21st century we should have people living on the streets. It's just inhumane.
Right. You've heard both your opponents speak. Most recently, you heard Diane Dixon speak. She is one of your opponents who says she's not afraid to make the tough decisions to get homeless off the street. Does that concern you? The language concern you? And did you hear anything?
I mean, I saw that in her candidate statement, and I thought, what is a tough decision?
Right.
Does she mean lock them up or something? I mean, I don't even know where she's going with that. For me, it comes from a compassionate place, and as far as our housing, you know, our life. Oh God, quality of life is what I'm trying to say. It's early, Ed. You got me in here before my second cup of coffee. Quality of life issues for residents. Right. I have a friend that's nearby that I talk to about political stuff. And she says, Judy, we shouldn't be spending all this money on the homeless. And I said, well, what's your solution?
She's a mutual friend of ours. I know. I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, right. I think you do. And she may be listening. And I said, well, would you rather have your home increase in value because it's a wonderful neighborhood and a wonderful place to live? Or would you rather have homeless people on your doorstep and bring down? If I can't get you on compassion, can I get you on money and how much your home is worth and maintaining value?
Right. Right.
I mean,
where can I find the ground that you'll help me walk on? Right. So you first came into my orbit, over a dozen years ago, where you were fighting off attacks on women's reproductive rights even back then. And it's a battle that's taking place right now here in Orange County. Have we taken steps backwards since the 70s and 80s?
I mean, it's not just steps. It's like leaps and bounds backwards. You know, to hear that we're having these conversations today and these laws passing is just, it's scary, and it just makes me wonder. Like, I understand that it's like maybe this white men nationalist Christian right. I don't even know exactly.
But where it's coming from.
It's just a human right. If a man goes to the doctor and he is talking to the doctor about whatever medical thing he has and what he wants to do with it, right? I'm sorry, but a woman gets that same right.
Right.
And it just boils down to that. We don't have laws passed on how she can decide what to do in that office between her and her doctor.
Right.
I mean, it just, I don't get it. I am just perplexed.
Right. Well, thank you for the battle over the last several years and for continuing that battle, by the way. And another battle is, of course, wage equality for women. It's a steep hill to climb. As an assembly person, what can you do? What really can you do if elected?
I mean, I think that obviously there's data, so you can bring in the data to see where these problems exist and what industry.
It's 88 cents on the dollar. It's less than 88 cents. It's 87 and change on the dollar now.
Can I tell you a story, my own personal story?
Please.
So in 1988, I worked for a company that did post-production in Hollywood. And I was the computer person, because back then there wasn't many people in computers. So I oversaw all the networking, all the data stuff there, converting it from an old AS400 to a new networking. And the bank, this is the old days, where, you know, you got a check, you went into the bank to the teller and you deposited it. And I went in, and a woman that I've seen all the time, the teller, she says, oh, it's payday at your company today. Everybody's coming in. And she holds up a man's check that I work with, and he's in the post-production room, and he made almost twice as much money as me. But yet my skills and what I did there was like at least twice as much higher value than what he did. And if we were to be replaced, it would be way easier to replace him than me.
What a punch to the gut that is. What a punch to the gut that must
be. Well, that's the realization. That is when I learned of pay inequality. So I went to my boss later in the week. And I said, hey, you know, I learned that Tom makes twice as much as I do, but yet I have higher skills, And he looked at me and he says, well, he's got a family to take care of. Because I was a single woman. And I said, but that shouldn't have anything to do with it. It's about our skill set, our experience, and what we do here for the company. Well, I'll think about it. And I ended up getting a raise from him, but it was negligible. And that was the beginning of my world in pay inequality.
So in going back to the original question and speaking to women who are paid unequally to a man in the same position, as a state assembly person, what would be your first step to handle this?
I think that we have to look at current law. So look at the data, find out what industries, where are we? Is it technology? Where's the discrepancies? And then either there's going to be something voluntary that you give an incentive that they raise those wages, or you pass something that is a mandate and force them into it somehow. But I don't know where current law stands. So that's the first thing you always look at is what's on the books. Is there something there that we're not enforcing that we could be? Or is there something there we can change, or do we need something brand new? But I will be a champion of that, no problem.
Excellent.
A long time coming.
So we just, both of us this morning, looked at the California blueprint put out by the governor's office just last night, actually. And part of it addresses a plan to fight and prevent crime here in California. And we had spoken about crime previously, you and I, and the increase in violent crime here. And why do you think we've seen these increases? And the blueprint that you're looking at now, is it dropping enough dollars into the problem?
I mean, I think that the reason why we've seen an increase, I'm going to just take a shot at it here without having my scientific proof behind me. But, you know, the increase in pharmaceutical drugs over street drugs, right? And the availability. So drugs, homelessness increase, you know, poverty increase, recidivism, you know, people getting out of jail, not having any way in front of them forward, just going back into jail, right? We need to do, a lot of things to
prison reform is what you're looking
absolutely at, right? I mean, it is proven that if we can get people educated and get them skills while they're incarcerated, that they don't go back, you know? I mean, the percentages are like 95% will stay out of prison. Yes, that's an answer.
Right.
Where you have good data that proves things, we have to put our money where our mouth is and get behind these solutions. So that's one thing, the availability of drugs, the availability of guns, for God's sakes. After the insurrection, January 6th, seeing everybody flooding and buying guns and all this ghost gun availability over the internet. All you need is a credit card and, you know, a browser to go get, you know, an AK-47 kit that you put. What? What? Of course we're where we are. And we, and you know, this is the other problem, is that special interest has been running our world, and it has been the NRA. It has been big oil, big insurance, big pharma. And we need to take it all back and say, no, we need to get things back on track here. And the people need to, like, step up and not, take it away from all this special interest. I am used to going up against special interests, not only going up against them, but winning. So I'm good with that, right? And it's about building coalitions and having the support from the community. So, you know, it's not just time has come. Time is, like, passed. We need to get on it.
Right. And I'll let the audience know. If you're just joining us, we're talking to Judy Mancuso. She's candidate for the State Assembly District 72, which includes Laguna Beach. And when you talked about going up against special interest and getting stuff done, your nonprofit sponsored over 54 state bills, and 19 of them were signed into law. Not a bad percentage there. And your work, and this question is maybe out of left field here, but your work with animals, with the compassion that you share for the animals on this world, you ban on retail sales of cosmetics that are tested on animals, ban on fur trapping, wild animals in circus and commercially mill-bred animals. All of this was you. All of this was Judy Mancuso. As we watch a humanitarian crisis unfold in Ukraine, we're also seeing now the crisis of animals in Ukraine. And I know you've got a lot on your plate right now, but have you taken a thought or an interest in maybe some of the nonprofits over there
PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, out of their Germany office, has been helping to rescue animals, get them reunited. So there's been a lot of groups that have stepped in. But, you know, I mean, locally in California, we do have a bill this year that my group is running that has to do with evacuating animals. And what it does is it mandates that anyone that has what's called a kennel permit, and I can explain that, has an evacuation plan. And this was born out of City of Laguna Beach. In Laguna, you need to have a kennel permit if you have over the legal amount of animals. And so I did when, you know, I bought my home here. And when I got the permit and they came and inspected my home, so it's good that I have all the animals I did, they asked for an evacuation plan. I don't have an evacuation plan. Okay, well, think about it. Let us know. You know, we're going to check in next time and you have it ready for us. And, you know, at the time, my ex-husband and I had a Audi TT and an Audi A4. And then we had 15 cats at the time because we were doing rescue and whatnot.
Right.
Well, there was no way you could evacuate. And we didn't even have enough carriers. So, you know, if you're going to take responsibility for a big number of animals, then you know what? Yeah, you do need an evacuation right. plan. So we got a van that we could get all the animals in. I got the number of carriers that I needed to get everybody out. And you know what? Unfortunately, with all the fires we've had here, I've had the animals in those carriers. I don't have that many animals anymore. I only have 2 dogs and 4 cats now. Because
that's still a houseful.
20 years.
Still a houseful.
And I can still evacuate them. So right. Anyway, watching the fires, watching the animals perish, watching them get in the way of first responders, people not leaving because they don't want to leave their animals. So we're doing this bill here in California this year. It just passed its first committee. And I think that, you know, in a crisis, we should always be able to take our animals with us, number one.
Right.
And whatever rules are in place need to be waived. And by golly, get us out safe and alive and with our companions.
Family members.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, right. Well, thank you for that fight. Last question before I let you go. You're currently the vice chair of the city's Environmental Sustainability Committee. Responsibilities, things you see here coming up locally?
Well, getting this climate action plan updated for Laguna Beach, making sure that Laguna does everything that it can to get to its own zero emission, right? Whether it's changing out all the bulbs in the street lights and in the buildings to a fleet of electric vehicles, solar on roofs. There's so much that can be done. So we're looking at all that. I've been on the wildlife committee, so we're also looking at a lot of vehicle strikes on the poor deer. There was 32 deer dead in 1 year from vehicle strikes, and trying to raise awareness, what you put on your lawn and these pesticides, that all matters, and it goes down to the beach, and our marine life suffer. We have bobcats with mange still. People have these bait boxes. We got rid of the rodenticide, but people still have these bait boxes out with different pesticides. So there's a lot of cleanup to be done here to make us, more wildlife friendly, but also much more, reduce emissions and get us to that zero place.
Lifetime advocate for animals, lifetime advocate for the environment, addressing the city of Laguna Beach as part of the Laguna Beach Democratic Club tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at the Suzy Q. You can register for that event at the lbddems.com. Candidate for the State Assembly, District 72, Judy Mancuso, thank you so much for stepping in this morning for the conversation.
Thank you so much for having me, Ed.
We'll look forward to talking to you down the road.
Okay.
All right. 8:29 the time on the Mornings with Ed show.